Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 191. I am your host, Jose. Thank you so much for listening. Let's just jump right into it. Today's guest is a returning one. Greg from Mustache Pretzels, come back. Yes, he's come back to tell us what's been up, what's been going on, what changes has he done to the business. And we just really catch up with him. I love doing these episodes because it just really helps to reconnect the community with such a great business like Mustache Pretzels. You've seen him basically everywhere. They've got two food trucks now, and they're just keep on chugging along. So please, please, if you are in the mood for pretzels, please go seek out these guys because they are a lot of fun on top of it's a very good mustache pretzel. So we're going to jump into a little bit of our business. You can catch every episode of our Finding Arizona podcast at our website, findingarizonapodcast.com. We make it easy for you guys to connect with us. So all our social media is under Finding Arizona Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's so much fun connecting with you guys. We get to learn about you. We want to know what you guys are wanting to hear next. If you guys have a suggestion, we love hearing those suggestions. We take it all. On top of which, we do have a community cork board. So if you want to leave us an email for an event that you are excited to announce, leave it at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. We will set it up for you guys. That'll be at the end of this intro. And last but not least, we have a place for all you super fans. So if you want extra content, you need more, go to patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast, become a subscribing member, and it helps us really, really get better at what we do on equipment and everything, strategy, a lot of plans for outdoor trips so that we can go and connect with these businesses outside of the valley. So everything is going back into the business. So that's where you can go get your extra piece of content. It's called Fine Examination, and it's only available at patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. Last but not least, it is our community corkboard time. So yes, we do have local events going on every weekend, and we try and do our best to make sure that you guys are well informed. So this weekend, Friends of Phoenix Summer Sale. That's right, all of our close friends that we've had on here that are very much just like really close to us, and some of our favorite businesses like Tremaine Ranch, Jar of Buttons, New Darling, Standard Wax, Parahome, Simply Stage Phoenix, and more are all available from 8 to I believe 10:30 a.m. And you can go over, it is being hosted by Tremaine Ranch, but it's being held at Max 6. That's 941 South Park Lane, Tempe, Arizona. So go check it out. It's a nice summer sale, so pick yourself up something special for the summertime. Give yourself something local that you can enjoy. And we'll move on to our next event going on. And this one's a little bit down the road, but we're so excited to announce it. Our friends over at Keep Nature Wild are doing their Sedona cleanup over on September 14th. So that's a little bit ways away. Make sure that you're signing up for those. It is very important that you sign up and make sure that you're involved in making an impact on the world. Last but not least, Partying with Pops. It's a Father's Day event over at the Churchill. My buddy, I just saw Kellen, his beautiful daughter. Shout out to Kellen Sakura. Oh my God, you have such a beautiful daughter. She's so precious. I got to hold her. So go check out our social media. That's on our Instagram. But for your information, it is on June 15th, which is Sunday, tomorrow at 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can go check out the Churchill. You guys know where that is. It's downtown on Roosevelt Lane on 901 North 1st Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Promise you, it's a good time. $5 Bloody Marys, cold beer on tap, craft cocktails, full brunch menu, board games, cornhole, and the fun don't stop because there's some pop-up shops there too. That being said, that it ends our community corkboard, on top of which it ends our intro. We really appreciate everybody that listens. So if you're listening to this on some kind of platform, please like and subscribe, because a like for us isn't just a like for us. It's like for every single person who comes in through our doors, those entrepreneurs that are doing the work that needs to be done, the community that they're trying to build. It is not just for me, it is for them. We want to get them to the top of the charts. Thank you guys so much for listening. Episode number 191 with Greg of Mustache Pretzel. Let's do this. What is it you do, and why do you do it? Here at Finding Arizona Podcast, we love to showcase that. And so do our friends at Every Impression Counts. They offer free strategy consultations so you can envision the possibilities for your business or idea, such as websites, social media management, paid advertising like the top of Google, along with advertising on Facebook, Instagram, Snap, video production, photography, podcasting, SEO, blogging, analytics, and so much more. In today's world, it's never been so cost-effective to produce and distribute content with the tools that you have at your disposal. If you've ever thought, what if, just have a convo with my friends at Every Impression Counts. You can find them at eic.agency or check out what they're up to by following them on Instagram and Facebook at Every Impression Counts and tell them Finding Arizona Podcast sent you. Yeah, it's windy.
Yeah, that there. Wouldn't do well.
Yeah, that would not sound well.
No.
We actually got away with it on the...
We did.
It was fun being outside with you and kind of like, yeah. You know, drinking coffee and stuff like that. That was helpful for me.
And as I recall, it was like 115 mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. so. It was brutal.
But we were underneath the...
We were in the shade, yeah.
So it was fine.
115 in the shade.
Yeah. But still sweating.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to jump into this episode. Welcome back to the Finding Arizona Podcast. I'm your host, Jose. We bring in very special guests every week, and today is no different. This gentleman has come back into the studio. Well, actually, the first time we were outside, but that's neither here nor there. Please welcome the owner of Mustache Pretzel.
Oh, boy.
Greg, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Greg G.
What up, Greg?
And I sell pretzels shaped like mustaches.
Yeah. It's so fun. I think the first time that we talked, you had just opened up the airport spot. The convention center. Yeah, that's what it was. How did that venture go, and why don't we just kind of pick up where we left off?
If you know the Boom Goes the Dynamite video well, you'll pick up on it started off well, but ended up going poorly. So that was actually like 3 years ago, almost to the day.
Wow.
And we had just launched the storefront in the convention center in time for Comic-Con. Then It was actually called Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Comic Fan Fusion Fest.
Yeah. So many names.
Not to be confused with whatever. that storefront location served us really well for the larger events, but mm-hmm. like for the day-to-day, you know, plumbers and pipe fitters conventions and whatever, it was not the right fit.
Yeah.
So we still have a little portable kiosk inside the convention center. And I just dropped off our trailer outside the convention center for Comic-Con or Fan Fusion 2019.
Yeah.
And you don't need a ticket to get to the outside part, so stop by.
Stop by, yeah, exactly.
We still have a presence there. We're still happy to be there. It's a great relationship and super high visibility and a great opportunity for us. Yeah. But we no longer have the brick and mortar storefront there because there were just too many $18 sales days sandwiched in between those several thousand dollar sales days.
Yeah. And that's what many people don't, you know, that's some of the underbelly stuff that you probably, you know, as an owner, you either know or you kind of have to swing and try and take your licks and try.
It was an opportunity we couldn't really reasonably turn down at the time. It was super high profile, and it probably gave us a real leg up in getting the airport spot, which has been great.
It teaches you it gives you so much information into the brick and mortar side.
A whole other frame of reference, man, for, you know, dealing with really, really big events, dealing mm-hmm. with events where, you know, at a school event, we might have some say over where things happen, how things happen. But, you know, the bigger the event, the less control we have, and just kind of learn how to roll with the punches and meet the client's expectations and the city's expectations and, you know, play nice with other people's equipment and everything.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely a learning experience, and we're happy with where we've gotten to with it, you know, with having the portable kiosk kind of inside the events. Because with the storefront, it was great if there were a bazillion people at the convention center, which there are from time to time. But the kiosk allows us to, you know, if there's a karate tournament with 500 kids, they're not going to open the big food court for that, or they might make us open for 10 hours and we might sell, you know, $50 worth of stuff. But with the portable, we can push right into the little area where the tournament is, and all of a sudden we're selling pretzels, you know, in the middle of a captive audience, which is great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the last time that we actually saw, I think you, was like
either a year or 2 years ago over at Phoenix Flea, slinging some mustaches.
Slinging stashes at Phoenix Flea, man. That is really one of the best events.
Yeah, because honestly, I have never seen so many food trucks with the longest lines.
So it's a combination of an event space that can only accommodate so many food vendors.
Yeah.
And attracting food vendors who have a bit of a following. Mm-hmm. So like with this one, we've done Phoenix Flea, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 9 times. And it's just a thing people do at Phoenix Flea. You get in line for the pretzel, you get the pretzel, and you go shop, do your thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some incredible other folks there. And it's you know, it's not like an event where it's somebody pretty well established and then, you know, somebody who's their first time out. It's trucks that are kind of bring a following and people are excited to see them anyway. So, you know, it's
the cream of the crop.
Who's willing to work on the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, at least?
Exactly. Well, that's another thing we should talk about too, because they've gotten better at like scheduling these things, and then there's some of them that have gotten worse. One of the things I want to ask you about is the big truck one. Like the big food vendor truck.
You mean Street Eats?
Yeah, Street Eats. That's the one.
Yeah.
Did you participate in that? Because we didn't go yet. We haven't gone yet. But do you participate? Do you like participating in these events that are specifically tailored to food trucks?
I do. In general, yes. Street Eats in particular is an interesting one. I would say, by and large, not every event's right for every truck.
Yeah.
Our truck happens to play really well in really big crowds because we are a quick serve snack item.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do really well at corporate office lunches. We do not do really well at high-end foodie, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff like that. But if you put us in an environment and you say you need to serve 200 servings an hour for 5 straight hours, we can do that because we just keep slinging pretzels. Street Eats in particular, you know, the first year it was so, it was before we did it, it was, they were not prepared for how popular it would be.
Yeah.
And trucks had really long lines. Second year we were a part of it, it was a banger. It was the biggest event we'd ever done. It was the first really huge event we ever tried to do, and we kind of learned the hard way on a few things.
Nice.
And then from there, they had some issues with like scheduling it opposite Barrett Jackson or opposite the Super Bowl, other things that were going on, you know. But there's only so many weekends they can do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so this year we elected not to do it just because we had some other like private stuff that we wanted to do.
Sure.
We'd probably be open to do it in the future. And you know, I would say the novelty of like it's a food truck event, that's kind of worn off from 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
It has to be a good event that happens to have food trucks.
Yeah.
Because people can find food trucks now everywhere. You know?
So
just because that novelty's worn off, that doesn't mean there can't still be a really successful, really good food truck event. Like all the reviews I got from Street Eats from other food trucks I spoke with afterwards said it was pretty solid this year.
Yeah.
You know, exceeded expectations and like Food Stock, which they put on out in Peoria, they do a great job. That was really successful for a lot of trucks. It was a good day, and they kind of learned some lessons from prior years with having a shorter runtime and a more tailored focus towards, you know, snacky stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, events kind of got to find their way just like food trucks do. It's, you know,
it's a kind of a yin and yang process.
Yeah. It's not just show up and tell people you're going to be there and assume people are going to show up because people have other things they could be doing.
It's not just build it and they will come sort of situation.
that's such a, fallacy that I was probably falling to, you know, when I started it, and just assumed that people would care, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And for sure, you know, everybody thinks their idea is a great idea. It might be a great idea, but it could go wrong 1,000 ways, as we've learned as much as anybody, you know?
I just love the idea of, like, you know, someone's like, you know what? Let's just ask these food trucks to roll up in this random lot and, like,
see what happens.
See what happens.
You know, it's such a, it's like herding cats, you know. You can't guarantee that you can think everything's set up for an event to be super successful, and then for reasons totally unforeseen, it might not be. And you could also show up to an event that think, hey, we're doing this because it fits with our schedule. We have a crew on that side of town at that time.
Yeah.
See if it works, and it's bananas.
Bananas.
So yeah. I wish I could tell you. Like, I have some things that I flat out will not do. Like, we've learned if an event is being organized by student council, as much as I love students being involved in stuff, don't do it. Because, you know, we've done events where there's 2 waffle trucks, 2 shave ice trucks, and us and a popcorn concept. And we're like, guys, how do you think money works? Like, what do you think people are going to do? There's, you know, there's 50 people at this event.
Yeah.
You said, you know, so we have certain things that we like categorically won't do, but
sure.
I really wish I had a better handle on which events would work and wouldn't work 5 years in, but you know, still strikes and gutters.
Yeah. It's still that risk, the fun risk of like, is it gonna, like the roller coaster, like are we gonna go all the way up?
Right. Well, then that does also speak to the importance then of booking catered events, which mm-hmm. we've been able to do a really good job of.
Good.
Prepaid events, even if you think you have an open sales opportunity with, you know, a higher ceiling, it's really nice to have a really high floor and know that you're going to get paid whether it rains or it's 120 degrees or not.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, a chance for that to be a recurring thing, you know, that's really where, you know, any truck that's been around a while would tell you, yes, it's great to have big open sales events, but you really need people bringing you out for your employee appreciation day once a quarter or twice a year or whatever it is.
Those are the types of things that'll, you know, just really in the end kind of really give you some savory, like, you know, save you in certain aspects. Yeah, it's
exactly. When you have the transmission repair come up or whatever.
Sure, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
You're able to plan for that or assume that and you have enough of a buffer to make that happen.
Absolutely. So you had mentioned the idea of this novelty when it comes to fruit trucks. And yes. I kind of want to harp on that a little bit just because it was very interesting to me. It's like you brought up 2013 where it was like a big hype for people to
and
start.
Even a little before that, yeah. Yeah. Like that was, we were, it was late-ish to the game, you know? Yeah. And yeah, it's, sorry, I cut you off.
No. I was just, my main question was going to be like, where do you see that novelty right now? Like, where do you anticipate it going? And then on top of that, like, you know, what are you doing to kind of give yourself a saving grace and put yourself in an opportunity of.
Totally.
You know. Optimism.
For sure. No, so I would say the novelty is definitely worn off for mm-hmm. most people. You're always going to have folks who have never booked an event before, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, client education is always part of what we do. If somebody will send an email and say, hey, I've never dealt with food trucks before.
Yeah.
How do I do a fundraiser at my kid's school? And that's fine. But by and large, it's not like you're pulling an ace out of your sleeve by opening a food truck mm-hmm. at this point. And what that really speaks to then means is that you can't just show up and assume that people are going to show up because it's a food truck and it's new and it's cool. You kind of have to have your act a whole lot more together than we had it when yeah. we opened. We were clueless and terrible. And we learned the hard way and a lot of things. And I'm not saying that to be like funny and I'm proud of it or anything. Like, no, we made some legitimately bad decisions and did some things that were really stupid at first. And we thankfully were kind of able to outrun those mistakes.
Good.
But yeah, for trucks that are starting now, the expectation is just higher.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
oh yeah.
You know, think about like what websites were 15 years ago. You know, but you're a company yeah. that you could be a real company with a crappy website and nobody would, you know, it was just a thing.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, if it looks like a, if it looks crappy, yeah. no one's going to assume yeah. that it's any good. Or
the 2000 and 2002.
The GeoCities era.
The GeoCities era. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The flashing for sale.
Right. No, there's, yeah, you can't get by with hamster dance at this yeah. point in the exactly. food truck game. And so as far as what we're doing, we have kind of like one of the original iterations of the Mustache Pretzels was going to be when I still had a grown up job and before my wife's job relocated us out to Scottsdale from the East Coast. And I kind of had to make a big transition anyway.
Yeah.
Was going to be, hey, I just want to do a pop up. I want to do this idea. I want to do farmers markets and see if it would be funny, see if it would work. And so we've gone like low tech. We've gone from a full blown food truck to a trailer to now doing 10 by 10.
Nice.
Canopies with an oven and a pretzel warmer in it. And it's super carny-ish and super low budget, but man, it works.
Good.
And the payback period on it is like 4 hours as opposed to a yeah. year and a half.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, we're really just trying to still being selective. We don't have to run it every day. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're able to do it too because we already have some infrastructure in place. We already have a prep kitchen. We already have, yeah. you know, a book of business, and we already have the know-how how to get into bigger events or how to target events that we think might work mm-hmm. for us. You know, it's not like it would have been the same if we had just started with this, but we're kind of getting a little smaller and a little smarter in what we do.
Okay.
As opposed to just like, all right, yeah, we got to keep the trucks going. We got to do more events, more mm-hmm. stuff, more everything. We can kind of now look at what has worked and try to just do more of what has worked. So like we sure. launched the pop-up on the first weekend of March, just the weekend of Phoenix Flea.
Yeah.
That first Saturday in March, if you had 30 food trucks and they were any good, you could keep them all booked morning, noon, and night. That weekend is crazy.
Nice.
So we had both. We had the truck at Phoenix Flea. We had the trailer at M7 Street Fair in Melrose, which was an awesome event.
Yeah.
And we had an A's home game at spring training. The A's were our first, best, and biggest client. We can't say no to the A's.
Yeah.
So we asked them, like, hey, would you be cool with us testing a pop-up at this one game instead of having a truck there? And they said, yeah, whatever you want to do. Sounds great.
Yeah.
So it worked. And it freed up our trucks to do other events, and the pop-up worked. And then we used it at Tempe Festival of the Arts. And it went super well. It was our first multi-day event with it. We learned some more.
Dude, that's really cool.
Yeah. So it's because not every event can accommodate a 28 by 10, whatever footprint.
You need that 10 by 10.
Yeah, you need the smaller thing.
And fit in those slots.
And what we found is, like, part of what we do, a lot of the pretzel thing is, you know, you've seen the Indians in the mall or whatever. They're rolling, watching people do what they're doing is, or people watching what you're doing is part of the experience. And you can get super up close and personal without having, like, sneeze guard health department issues. And see what we're doing even more so than in the truck or the trailer, which are they're pretty open. You can kind of see what's going on, but it's totally different when it's in a closed space. When it's a tent with mesh walls, you know, you can see it all, which is cool. It's a different customer experience. It's not right for every event, you know.
Yeah.
Right. We haven't gotten any wedding inquiries saying, hey, could you bring your tent to our wedding? We think that would really make it special. But the trucks, you know, the trucks are great for that other side of the business, you know, the prepaid corporate side of the business.
In all honesty, too, I mean, I think that you have started to optimize, as from my perspective, you've started to optimize your everything from sales to, you know, doing the pretzels. And it looks to me that you have taken the good with the bad on top of, you know, you're taking everything that you've learned from those events and really pushing it towards, you know, helping the business and the trucks all at the same time and optimizing.
Yeah, just trying to do more of what works. And just if something's not working, just stop beating your head against the wall. We got rid of, like, the pickup truck we used to tow the trailer, we just sold, because the thing, as much as I loved it, was just a nightmare. It was a nightmare. The transmission was a mess. We sold it to somebody and we said, hey, you need the transmission. They do not. I was like, yeah, I'm buying it for the engine. I don't care about anything else. Like, we sold it. And I tell you, the minute we got rid of that truck, it just felt
like a lightweight.
I was like, I don't care if we don't book the trailer at an event for the next however long. I just, the thought that I don't have to worry about when I land in Arizona, is that thing going to work?
Yeah.
Or, you know, when we needed to tow it to M7 Street Fair, it was that Saturday morning. I get a call from our manager who was running the shift that day. He's like, I'm on the side of the 51. I don't know what to do. Okay, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And we got there and everything. But man, like, we just not having to account for that variable is it may not be making me more money, but it's making me sleep better at night.
That's good. That's so good. It's like, you know, we haven't seen each other in a while. So from what I've asked you before, I mean, what in your life has changed? I mean, I think we talked about some life stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, I did recently become a dad.
Congratulations, man!
Yeah, so we have a healthy, bouncing 8-month-old boy, DJ.
Nice.
Daniel James.
Nice.
He's doing great.
Let me ask you about that then, because I have a buddy of mine and he just recently got his newborn and it's a girl. And so I want to know, I mean, from your firsthand experience as a business owner, and kind of like the first couple of weeks, what was that experience like?
It was unlike anything. I mean, I thought I'd been stressed out before. I thought I had really pushed myself to the limits of what I could think and feel and do.
Yeah.
And man, anyone who has a kid will tell you nothing can prepare you for that. Like, I remember people asking Amanda and I had to tell, are you guys ready? It was like, well, you know, on the one hand, we're a good team and we've been together a while and we've gone through some stuff and we've moved and we've all these crazy things we've done. But like, on the other hand, is anybody really ready? It's crazy. So, you know, we've done our best. We've tried to just.
Yeah, let him.
Yeah, you know, try to do our best like anybody else has. And sure. You know, it's not like a test you get an answer on, you know, in 2 days or whatever. He's doing well. We love him. He's in a good home and you know, we're doing our best. But nothing business wise could I say with a straight face prepared me for other than waking up at bizarre hours and being worried about what could go wrong at any moment.
The tension of doing something wrong.
Yeah, just the
I'm betting too. It's like he's walking around now, right?
I mean, he's crawling around.
Crawling around.
Yeah. No, we just recently had to start really paying attention to him.
he's that mischievous.
Yeah, he can move around now. Like, there was, like, distinctly remember, because I'm home with him 3 days a week, and you know, like on Thursday, I left him in his little play area and went downstairs to get a cup of coffee, and it came back up and it was fine. And the next day I did the same thing and he had moved like 10 feet. I was like, well,
whoa,
nothing bad happened, but it could have. So
yeah, you went from there to there. That can't be good.
That means I need to start baby proofing things.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I, you know, and it's funny too. Cause, you know, some people have like, they go from 2 to 3 and you go from playing man-to-man defense to zone defense.
Or I think even a parent of like 3 or 4 or more kids would tell you that there's no jump like 0 to 1 because I mean, just for Amanda too, I mean, she's works full time and she's, you know, because my income is tied to the vagaries of the food truck world.
Yeah.
It's not super consistent.
Yeah.
And Amanda's the breadwinner and now the, and the taking care of a kid and like all that she has had to do. And the level she's risen to is mind blowing.
Incredible.
And then, yeah, to then have to reconcile that too. Like, well, yeah, a lot of the stress we feel as new parents, as she's feeling as a new mom who's also working full time, is due to me doing this, you know, arguably stupid pretzel thing instead of staying with accounting.
You keep downing yourself on this too. And it's worked for years, man.
Yeah, it has too, but it's, you know, it's not without its stress on the home front. And like the thing that I would say the biggest difference between like how I see things when we last spoke 3 years ago and now is like the understanding like, wow, I did a lot of advanced prep before I started the business on the business plan and what I wanted to do and what I thought would work and testing things out and testing recipes. I did nothing. And I'm not proud of this. This is a major glaring flashing red light of a fail on my part. I did nothing to prepare like emotionally for what a business would do on the home front and what it would mean for our schedule. Like it didn't even occur to me that I would basically be working nights and weekends.
Yeah.
And Amanda was still going to be working 9 to 5 and she was used to, even if I was traveling during the week and that sucked and we didn't see each other.
Yeah.
You know, when I was home, I was home and there was not really much risk of me getting a call saying we need this right now or you won't get money.
Yeah.
Because even if I got a call that said, we need you to do this, like I still got the check in 2 weeks, even if I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did not anticipate that, probably mostly because of the like pie in the sky. My business is going to be a flying success and I don't need to worry about anything that could be a negative associated with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's bad with the good, as with anything else.
For sure.
And there's trade offs. And I did a really poor job of anticipating that. And that's like when new truckers ask me, or people thinking about opening a food truck, ask me, what do I need to think about? What do I need to do? What I was like, forget thinking about equipment. Like that's important, but you'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Like if you're not super realistic about what this is going to mean for your life, don't do it. Because it's not easy, and it's especially if you don't anticipate it like I didn't. They can be really tough at times.
In all honesty too, I don't think I ever mentioned this to you or anyone. Like my father, you know, when we were living out on the res, he had a difficult time trying to find work. And it's just because where we were living on the reservation, there wasn't a lot of jobs available.
There wasn't a lot of development
or anything. And it all was all prioritized to members of the tribe.
Right.
So he had to make a decision. Either I go out and travel and find work on my own, or I bring it to me or somehow make it. And he decided to bring in a food truck and it was really interesting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There was small like window in our lives where I was like in high school. I was helping him like prep every morning, prep the food truck. And then when he come home at 3 o'clock right after school, I had to help him clean out. And like both my brother and I, you know,
I'm trying to get DJ to do that and he just doesn't have the hang of it yet.
Hand-eye coordination will come in later.
Everything
down the
just
road.
Gets put into his mouth and the health department shows up and it's a mess.
Everyone's just in a bad mood after that. But it was, you know, in actuality, you know, that was one of the big things on him is that he wasn't, you know, as a father, he was like, you know, I had to make a choice of like, do I go out and, you know, I have to prep myself on these things. And he's like, what do I do? And, you know, for him to choose this really hard on, you know, I have no qualms of like realizing it's a hard task. You're in a hot box in making food and customer service on top of all the other things that go into it.
A lot of things have to go right for it to work.
Yes.
And that's,
And so for him, you know, like all of this stuff was just, to me, to see my father you know, really struggle to make these things and to make it come work, to fruition and make it work, you know, it only built that fire inside of me. Whereas like, I now understand what it takes to, you know, make it buck and make it survive. And so, you know, you have my full respect on that part. And as a father too, like, you have my full respect because you have taken advantage of not only looking at the negatives of, like, you know, I wasn't ready emotionally, and now have seen the light of it. And now you're noticing, okay, I have a kid now too. I have to take these into account. There's more at stake here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if there anything that I can do, you know, if I have to throw on an apron, I will definitely
be
there.
Very, very careful. Now that I know you have food truck experience and you're willing to help, are on the short list.
Yeah, I, you know, that's how I roll. It's like, you know, I'm all up for, like, any person who comes in here. I'm like, dude, whatever you need. Even if it means I have to participate.
Man. And likewise, dude, if for every reason in the podcast, if you ever need clean blood and urine or anything, I'm your guy.
Dude, no, you've already done enough because, you know, well, I'm going to be honest about that. You know, you found out that we were getting married, and Brittany's been, you know, doing her thing on HoneyBook and asking people if they would like to participate and you know, help us out with our wedding. And you were like the first one on board.
Yeah, man,
you're
cool. It's more fun than pretzels for a wedding.
Exactly.
You know?
And so it's like, you mentioned that, you know, you haven't gotten the call for pretzels for weddings. And I'm here to say that we are proud to have mustache pretzels
Absolutely.
As part of our wedding.
Absolutely. Man, that's gonna be so much fun. You know, weddings are something, like, I think of the things that I thought I'd be doing when I started the business, and then, like, the things that I didn't think of, like, I didn't think school events would be a thing. Like a major huge part of our business. I didn't think maybe we'll do a wedding every now and then. Like, that's a major, like, the math doesn't work if we don't do weddings.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's what's a bigger honor than being part of, like, the biggest day of somebody's life? Mm-hmm. I always like to say, celebrate your eternal love by giving the gift of pretzels shaped like mustaches. It's a total non sequitur, but it's fun. It's great. So we do a ton of work with the Paseo out in Apache Junction. Mm-hmm. Some just great venues, the Falls there's some great, really great wedding venues in town that are super amenable to bringing in food trucks. You know, you're not going to, there's certain places that have their own in-house catering and you can't do it. Yeah. And that's fine. You know, we can't be all things to all people.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the right, if you're looking for that late night snack that just sends people home talking, because people only remember like two or three things about your wedding at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Either the cake or the ceremony or something.
Literally, all people remember about our wedding 5 years later is that we had a band, and then it was at a house, a mansion type thing. It was great. It was amazing. I didn't want to do the band. Amanda wanted to do the band, and as soon as the band started playing, I was like, this is the best money. This is awesome.
This was definitely worth every single penny.
Yeah, no, this is great.
I'm so glad. Here's another thing I want to ask you. You know, you have done so many things for us, and we can't say enough to that. But, you know, one of the things that I want to know is, what are you doing too? It's like, you have started to do, like, have you started to give back? You know, have you reached that pinnacle point where it's us?
Well, from the beginning, yeah. So we've raised over $10,000 for local schools over the years.
That's awesome.
Just as part of doing school fundraisers. Yeah. It's not, I didn't cut a publisher's clearinghouse check for 10 grand to some school.
The big check.
Yeah. I do not have big checks. If you're out there listening, no, you're going to get your money like 50 bucks at a time from a 10% donation. We work a ton with local schools and local churches, and we're always thrilled to give back because, you know, what's unique, and one of the things that we kind of got to dial in on and really think about as we were going through the airport process, where we were, you know, one of the local vendors on a national food service company's package of vendors, Shake Shack and Panera and Starbucks, and then there's like Upward Projects and us, and I went, oh my goodness, like
we're in there,
we're with them, but how as Zach would say, shout out Zach, but you know. We were part of the local community, not just because, like, all right, catering is one thing. You know, a lot of people have a lot of events that have a lot of catered food. With a food truck, you're like a guest. You know, you're like part of the event. It's not. It's totally different than, you know, other food service situations where you show up and you drop off and do your thing. And there are situations where it makes, just for whatever reason, we just have to do a drop off order, and that's fine. But as a food truck company, it is cool to feel like you are part of the community. You're a part of the.
For sure.
You're part of the school. The schools that we do year over year over year, we're part of that school's spring carnival, you know, tradition.
And like to some kids, you're like the number one thing that they want to see there.
And it's, what's crazy now is like there's people who will book us for their graduation party. We're like, yeah, we had you at our sixth grade or seventh grade, you know, end of year party.
You.
I'm like, whoa. Yeah. So we have been around a minute, and that's cool. And it's exciting to pass that like 5 year mark and still be going strong. But it's also just super humbling to be like, to be something that people think about and people want to have part of the thing.
Absolutely.
You know, it's neat.
I think that, and here's where it boggles my mind, man. You call it a silly, like you have this way of like downplaying that this mustache business is like, it's fun for you. And at the same time, I'm so glad that you are this kind of self-deprecating person that's like, I know it's silly, I know it's fun.
Yeah, you can only take yourself so seriously when you're doing this as your principal source of income.
Exactly.
And like, yeah, in slower seasons, I still do more grown-up things, you know, your bookkeeping and you know, insurance advising if you have any questions.
Okay.
Give me a shout. But yeah, you know, it's fun. And it's been a good exercise for me to expand the menu a bit, because we now have like pretzel dogs that are available. Okay. I can't remember if we had those.
Yeah, let's talk about it, because I know that when we first talked about it, you had a cinnamon, a regular.
We've always had the different flavors of the mustache. And like, to me, from like the early going, the mustache bit only worked if it was the main bit. Like if you were a successful brewery and you decided to put mustache pretzels as part of your menu, to me, that's just weird and dumb. But if somebody shows up and says, this is what we sell, this is all we sell.
This is a main source.
This is
source.
All we do.
That is
that goes from, to, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the main punchline. It's like,
that's the bit. Yeah. But so it's been a good experience for me to get, you know, feedback one way or the other. Cause we've tried some stuff that's worked and some stuff that haven't worked, but like pretzel dogs are now a big part of what we do. Pretzel bites are now on the menu.
Nice.
I shied away from the bites originally because my concern, you see, was that a little nugget in a mustache form. Somebody ruined that mustache about 80 years ago.
Yeah.
And so people, what I knew it would work was when we didn't even have it on the menu. We were at an event and we just had like a cup of pretzel bites in the warmer.
Yeah.
And somebody without even looking at the menu just went and said, I want the bites. And then the next person came up and said, yeah, I want the bites. I was like, okay.
We're making bites now.
As much as I love the all we do is this bit and that's what we do.
People like bites, I think.
Also, people will pay money for that. I will give them that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the bites, are they the shape of the bites?
No, same dough. It's just a stranded pretzel bite. We do smaller snack size mustaches for private events, for stuff where they want to have, you know, a sampling event where you want to try more than, because if you order two of our regular pretzels, you're not going to finish them both.
Yeah.
They're, you know how they are.
They're hefty.
Yeah. They're a good 4 or 5 ounces of bread. And that's, even I would tell you, that's about where you want to draw the line.
Sir, we're not allowed to sell more than two.
If you're a beer inebriated, we cannot say. They're just, you know, you're running the mill pretzel, and they're not original. They're not, you know, it's the same thing that Annie Ann's does or that Wetzel's does, but they do it because it works, and it's shareable, and it's, you know,
it's fun.
Something
it's,
people want. It's easy to eat. And it works really well at the airport location too, because people are grabbing it to take on a plane. They don't necessarily have a spare hand to take the mustache selfie,
exactly,
but they can grab a thing of bites and be on their merry way and make the plane smell wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you dived into dipping sauces at all?
Yeah, of course, man. We got green chili queso. It's great. Yeah, man.
I didn't know that.
Well, so it's also really interesting. And we have Nutella and cream cheese and honey mustard and other great, you know, options like that. But I grew up in the Philly area and I was a really picky eater and I ate a lot of pretzels.
Nice.
And in my entire life, I never thought to dip a pretzel in anything because a pretzel was just, you just eat a pretzel.
Yeah.
So out here, it became very clear very quickly that the pretzel is just a cheese delivery system and that's cool. People are willing to pay $1 for the cheese. I'm willing to sell it.
Yes.
That's great. So when we did the pop-up in Philly, we've kind of done some events there as well, where I still spend a good part of the year.
Good.
And, in a day where we did, say, 2,000 in sales, a really good, like, a day that I'm pumped about, I would expect somewhere between $200 and $300 of those dollars to be from cheese.
Okay.
And Philly, we sold 6.
What?
Like, my instinct was right. Philly, pretzel. And then very few of the flavored pretzels. You get some garlic parm, but not a whole lot of
people. Not anything crazy.
Yeah, no cinnamon sugar, no nut stashes, no, you know, just...
Did I ever tell you I grew up in Allentown?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where I spent like the first half of my life.
Well, there you go, man.
Yeah. So it's like that's the pretzel.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's strong.
Lehigh Valley
there.
Is
you got the Pennsylvania Dutch. You got the German influence. You get a lot of pretzels hitting you from all angles there.
Yeah, the Dutch is where like the pretzel company from
Annie Ann's. Yeah, that's then again they're a major influence for us. There was a little Amish market in my hometown that had pretzels, and then also, you know, in the Deptford Mall got an Annie Ann's when I was a kid. That was like the best news ever.
Did you ever go to their factory? I don't know if it's a factory, you can say it. It's like more of like a farm with like...
I've had an opportunity to meet with some of their corporate folks just because of, you know, like the Phoenix Airport opportunity kind of put us on their radar, and we got a chance to speak with them. They're cool, man. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
They're owned by Focus Brands now, and Kat Cole, who's their president, I believe, is really awesome. I got to see her speak at a seminar I went to, and she was great. And you know, they're an awesome company, and I have nothing but respect for what they've done in the pretzel game for sure. But also, I want to take all their money.
I just like because I remember seeing these one like how it's made sort of situations where it's like. This big like vat of like pretzel, like they're just
twisting them up
and
the craziest thing, like the Gus Fring meth lab of pretzel operations that I've gotten to see is the J&J Snack Food Company. They're based in Pensauken, in New Jersey, pretty close to where I grew up in South Jersey, and they make super pretzels. So like if you ever had a pretzel anywhere that came out of like a heat lamp, they made it.
Nice.
They put out just from that one facility, they put out like 2 million pretzels a day.
That's a lot of pretzels.
So yeah, seeing their pretzel operation was.
You were like
remarkable. That was crazy cool. We did a limited time run with them where they did a freezer to oven version of our pretzel.
Get out of here.
Yeah. That's so that was available in the A Stadium last year.
Nice.
It was cool. And it, you know, with the right opportunities that might still happen at other locations down the road. But
That's another thing. It's like, what are some, you know, inventive, like that's one, like, have you thought and expressed any like fortune to go into something that's for the home and for
my wife again works in the CPG industry in the grocery world and has cautioned me over and over and over again don't set your sights on the frozen aisle because everybody has more money than you and they will spend you out of business and that's true
we've done
the frozen thing as like a wholesale thing. Problem is, like, you got a minimum order of like 20,000 pretzels. So there's really, you got to start with like stadiums and events and stuff like that. So it's got to be the right opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not something that we're going to like stock on the food truck as a take and bake at home thing. Like, it's just, it's different. And honestly, the flavor profile is different. One of them tastes like an Amish style buttered soft pretzel that's going to be, you need to eat it within a half an hour.
Yeah.
And the other one's a, you know, stadium soft pretzel that's shaped like a mustache. And there's a time and a place for that. Not above eating that.
Yeah.
But it's different. It would be confusing if we sold that and our scratch-made pretzels on the truck.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and, you know, down the road, if franchising is something that presents itself as an opportunity, great. Like right now, we're just mostly just focused on let's just tackle what's right in front of us, do it really, really well.
Yeah.
Do it in such a way that it doesn't cause me undue amounts of stress.
You or DJ. DJ, if you're listening to this down the road, listen to your dad. Don't go overboard.
don't be afraid to try any things, but also don't just assume everything's going to work out because you're smart and hardworking.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and I've seen this happen before too. It's like that the buying out of some other company to like, you know, stop them from providing a better or
for the record, if anybody wants to buy us out, we're all ears.
More than happy to. I just, you know, in my mind too, it's like you have worked so hard and I just wanted to see you succeed in any sort of fashion. So, you know, I'm here for you and I'm rooting for you. So if you do end up in the frozen food section, I will be a paid customer.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Good to know.
Yeah. Usually we have Brittany here. Brittany! Nope. No.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Mom, the meatloaf! So Brittany's usually here to give a Brittany's big question. And so since she's not here, I'm going to take over. And one of the big questions that I want to ask you is, are you looking...
Seven.
Seven is the ultimate answer.
Yes.
Are you looking to add more unique items or are you looking to expand... to another state? That's what's the
field? I would say geography. Like we're never gonna have the ability to do tacos on our trucks. Yeah. You know, wherever we're going to have them. That's just not, you know, just equipment-wise, it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, no, we would love to expand to other areas. Like I've said, we've done some stuff in the Philly area, and it's been well received, and we're happy to see that kind of taking root and growing.
Chicago
a little bit.
Next?
Yeah, man. If we get boots on the ground there, I'm all about it. Yeah. And it's interesting because we get the odd inquiry from somebody like, I got to bring this concept to fill in the blank city.
Yeah,
and then you know we've had some of those situations almost like get really 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 close to coming to fruition, then falling through, and there's a lot of, you know. Not heartbreak, but...
So sort of like a franchise?
Yeah, a franchise thing or like a licensing thing or the type of deal. Like what... like some other trucks have like, hey, if they see a truck that's working in another area, just create a new business together where the original business and the new owners are 50-50 partners. Something like that. You know what I mean? So there's ways you can do it. But, you know, we want to be more selective than we are dog chasing cars. So my natural inclination is to be a dog chasing cars and say the next opportunity is the best thing that's ever happened. This is good. This is the biggest. It's the best. Whatever. Yeah. And after 5 years of having things kind of smack me on one side of the face or the other, I have to be like, okay, I have a business that works. I'm excited about it. We should take opportunities to grow it where we see it strategic, but we should also just be really adamant about holding our ground, defending what we've earned as far as a book of business here in Arizona and Philly.
Yeah.
And so it's our second time doing it in Philly, our second kind of time through the summer season, and it's going well. And we should be maybe not totally content and satisfied with that because we can always run it more efficiently. We can always run a little better. Mm-hmm. We can meet more customers' needs and whatever other flowery business jargon you can throw out there. But we're kind of tacking more towards smarter, smaller, rather than let's put it everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if the right opportunity came along and they say, hey, we have these locations locked and loaded, they're Walmarts or they're airports or they're whatever, and we have the money to do it and we just need you to show us how we love the brand, we want to do it.
Yeah.
Like that's still, we still have some opportunities like that that are cooler irons in the fire, but they're in there and if they work out, great. But if not, it's a good thing we didn't take our eye off the ball.
There you go. Yeah. And I just in my mind, I'm picturing you like bumping into Mark Cuban at the urinal or something like that. Oh, it's like, dude, you're the mustache guy. He's like, I want in on this or something like that.
If you know where he happens to be peeing and you can get me another water, that would be great.
Awesome. Is there anything that you wanted to touch upon that we missed or something that you want to highlight or share with people?
I would like to highlight how amazing, again, my wife is in this season of having an infant, having a full-time job, having a husband who's an entrepreneur and kind of a space cadet. Really, sweetie, you're incredible and I love you and you're doing an amazing job and I can't wait to get home to you. Our crew, really incredible. They work hard. They work bizarre hours. I'll say something to them. They're like, hey, so we kind of need to do this. They're like, you got to need to do it. Like you already sold the gig and we got to go do it. Or like you're thinking about following up with this person. Aramark at the convention center is like, hey, we need 1700 ham and cheese pretzel sticks.
Jeez.
I don't know how to do that, but you know what? Zach and Alicia rolled up and did it. Because that's just what they do. So our team, amazing. And to all the people who allow us to come to your events year over year, or have just tried to book us for an event, we've been booked or have had us to your private event. Thank you so much. The fact that people are into what we're doing is the most humbling and cool thing in the world. And I hope you let us come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, thank you so much for listening. We take great pleasure in having Mustache Pretzel a part of our wedding on top of all the things that they've done to allow us to highlight them as well. And so shout out to the crew, your wife, you yourself, your son.
I forgot. I brought you some stickers.
Oh, thank you. Well, we'll trade some stickers right now.
Awesome.
Before we go, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear every episode of Finding Arizona Podcast at findingarizonapodcast.com. We make it easy for you guys to connect with us. Before we go, I'm going to let you tell everyone where they can find you online before I tell everyone where you can find me online.
All right. So it's www.geocities.com. check us out. It's mustachepretzels.com. mustachepretzels. We're on Instagram at mustachepretzels, on Twitter at mustachepretzel. And honestly, our Twitter and our Facebook are just reposts to our Instagram. So go to our website, book our truck, find them on the internet, and leave us positive feedback when you can. Thank you.
And all of our things can be found at FindingArizonaPodcast.com. Our Facebook and Instagram is all at Finding Arizona Podcast. Last but not least, we are about to go into Fine Examination. That is 50 questions that we only hold available at Patreon.com/FindingArizonaPodcast. So if you want to become a super fan, go sign up for one of those tiers and get that piece of content straight to your dome. And with that, we say goodbye to Greg here, goodbye to Mustache Pretzel, and goodbye to all of you listening. Bye, guys!
Thanks, friends!